Hello, there now follows an episode of the popular audio radio programme Into Your Head from Ireland. This show was recorded on computer using a microphone and was made on the 24th of January 2009 at around 10 a.m. That depends on your time zone though. If you're in the time zone that doesn't have a 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning, perhaps you've got a 9 hour clock and it changes every 9 hours, then just assume that it's an hour and a half after the end of your morning. So say your morning ends at 9 a.m. and then it goes over to afternoon, then that would mean it would be about 10 past 10 in the morning, except you'd call us 10 past 1 in the afternoon, unless your cycle starts at 2 and goes up to 9 instead of starting at 0, in which case that'd be absolutely fucking ridiculous. So you're just going to have to create your own iPhone application or something to convert the times of these podcasts for yourself, because bad enough that you've got places to have half an hour between them and the next country, I can't be keeping up with all your frigging time zones. So you're just going to have to go and sort it out yourself. Stop living in strange places with no proper concept of time. We've got a proper concept of time here in Ireland. We divided the day into 24 segments and then divided those into 60 more segments and then divided those into 60 more segments and made them go by so fast that you can't count them unless you don't do any multitasking and just concentrate on counting the time. It's perfectly sensible, and we've got 31 days in the month, well, except in some months those have 30, and we've got one month that has mostly 28 days, but every 4 years it has 29, which is perfectly good astrological reasons behind all this, and anyone with even the slightest grasp of astrology and astronomy should be able to measure the time quite easily, just by getting out a few charts and making something that can catch the sun's shadow. It's no problem at all. It's like a Windows interface. It's basically something you can pick it up as you go along. What's that word for something that you can just pick it up as you go along? It's something to do with I forget the word. There's a word that when you make a gadget, it should be easy for the user to figure out how to use it without having to learn anything. Leo Laporte's always using it in his tech podcasts. What the freaking hell is that word? I'll think of it later. Anyway, on with the show. Tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 131. Now, I know what you're thinking there, so you don't have to continue thinking it. I've already detected your thoughts, so I can... I'll come to it in a moment. Just because I haven't said what your thought is yet doesn't mean I haven't detected it. So you don't have to keep repeating it and flashing it at me like a school teacher would a young child who's trying to teach them a simple word. I see the word there. I see the word there. I've noticed it. It's in my head. Just the fact I haven't repeated it out loud yet doesn't mean it hasn't gone in. So I know what you're thinking there, and you can stop thinking it. You're thinking, he hasn't done anything since December. He's come along here, and he's been telling everyone to go to his website and listen to stuff. And all that's up there is a frigging load of crap from last year. It's all 2008. $100 of crap from 2008. Admittedly, he made a video last week and put that up. But what's the point of a video? He didn't even show himself in it. He showed his face for 1 second, and then just showed a load of crap. He might as well have been at the Andy Kaufman press conference of 2008. He was going to do something like that. But that's, I don't consider that a bad thing. Videos aren't supposed to be about the producer. Lots of people make videos and don't appear in them at all. Martin Scorsese is always making videos about wars in New York and people climbing up mountains for boxing matches and rock bands doing stuff and singing. He's never in them. You didn't see him behind the drums in that film he made about the Beatles last year. I can tell you, what you would say if someone had made a making of documentary about the movie that he was making, and assuming the making of documentary wasn't produced by Martin Scorsese, you would have seen Martin Scorsese appearing in that. Although ironically at a rather lower pay rate than he would get were he starring in one of his own major feature films. But nonetheless, at least these making of films serve to give some credit to the people who usually wouldn't get any credit unless you read their names in the credits or happened to know that they produced the movie. It's like, I suppose, the pictorial version of the scrolling credits that you see at the end of a movie. Instead of doing that, or in addition to doing that, you make an extras disc for the DVD, and you put a little television program on that, and it's all about the making of the movie, and it says, this movie was made using cameras and microphones. We stuck a microphone in this guy's face, and then we realised that was going to block his face making. That actor is particularly good at face making. We didn't want to block out the view of that. He wanted to make good cinematomic use of his excellent faces that he pulls, so we decided to move the microphone back away from his face, and we used one of these overhead booms and just adjusted the levels accordingly. We have sound people who can do that. They're absolutely sound, fine people, and they're experts in audio stuff, so they did that. So we discovered we didn't have to have the microphone shoved in his face after all, and it was pretty much the same with the camera. We thought if we put all the cameras jammed up against his face, we would get all these close-up views. We just had close-ups of a load of other cameras. So we told all the cameras, back off to a safe distance, we'll draw a circle here, and you can all be at different points of the circle, so you don't get in each other's ways. And you all point to the centre of the circle, and whoever takes the best shot wins, and we'll use you. We might even jump from shot to shot. Some of the cameras have things that can make them blurry. That's because they're old cameramen who've been doing this all their lives, but they're modest. They don't want to show off and show that they can do a clearer picture than some of the younger cameramen, so they intentionally adjust their cameras to make the picture more blurry, and they put it down to this thing, it's some sort of arty thing, I don't know. Anyway, that's how cinematography works, in case you were wondering. Lot to get through in today's show. It's been a long time, and we have issues to be dealt with, and things piling up. There's things piling up on my desk right here. Look, there's a big pile of envelopes. There's a lottery ticket from last night that needs to be checked. The Euro Millions. There's a ton of unused envelopes that I'm sure I'm supposed to be using to pay bills or something. There's my iTelephone bill at the moment. Let's see. Monthly charges, $43.19. What you've used, calls, messages and data. Apparently I've made calls and I've sent messages, and I've been in communication with someone called Data. I have to pay VAT on that. So I don't know what the situation is at all. Hold on, this is last month's bill. That explains a lot, to be perfectly honest. I like last month's bill though, because it was in credit. It was absolutely fantastic. Let's see, there's a credit card bill. That's fine. So we put those away now, and we get on with it. Now, the world has a new leader by the name of Borat Saddam Hussein Obama, and he's absolutely fantastic. He's going to cure poverty. I looked out the window today. I didn't see any poor people at all whatsoever, unless you count the neighbour's cat, who I suspect could do with a good grooming. But that's I suppose that's a luxury service that you get. It's not compulsory, so we won't worry about that. But apart from that, everything's fine. And I'm in Ireland, so Obama doesn't even have control over this country. We're not in his constituency or in his whatever that word is, I forget. I used it on Twitter the other day and was really proud of it, but I can't remember it now. Jurisdiction, that's the word. I don't live in Borat Osama Hussein's jurisdiction. I have a brother who does, though. He lives in Obama's jurisdiction. As far as I know, he's still alive. I checked a few days ago and he was fine. He didn't mention the new president at all. He said something about my video. He said the best bit of it was where my cats appear at the end. And I'm inclined to agree with that, although I didn't like his comments about the early part of the video being a bit slow. It was supposed to be slow. You have to go slow so that you can build up a pace. If you got on the merry-go-round and it started off going 90 kilometres an hour, you'd say, stop, 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 I don't want to be on this, leave me alone. No, you want a slow build-up, that's what you want. It's the same if you're making a TV series. You start off very slow. You come to close in to some guy sitting in bed reading the newspaper. It's probably an out-of-date newspaper as well. You don't want to scare the viewer into thinking this is going to cover some new news item that he or she hasn't heard about yet, and therefore is going to be left behind. So it's probably, if it's January, he probably has a newspaper that says, Santa Claus just came last night, and then he got up and started getting ready for Christmas. Why that's news, I've no idea, but apparently it is. It's to keep the young people happy and to help out their parents in their task of instilling the myth in their children. So it's all fine. Anyway, to start off, where was I? Oh yes, my video isn't too slow. My brother is talking a load of crap. As far as I'm concerned, when he comes out with some creative stuff, other than those paper boats that he presumably makes on his way to work, I don't know. I don't know what he does that's creative. He must do something. Admittedly, I do have one of his poems on my website on the Writings and Comics page. On the right-hand column, you'll find a fine poem by my brother. But apart from that, no. I'm the creative type person in my family, and I don't mind holding the whatever it is that you hold, the torch for the creativity that comes out of this household. Now my wife can make a lot of cat related things, and she's really good at it too. But I was talking about my side of the family, the O'Carroll side. Presumably when you go to America, you're not allowed to let out your Irish creativity. You have to do all sorts of American things. My brother's an American citizen now, so presumably he's supposed to make American bald eagles out of soap. And the soap has to be made out of coal that comes out of some mine in South Carolina. You can't import it, because that's like bringing coal to Newcastle. Except it's not going to Newcastle at all. Well, it might be. I'm sure there's a Newcastle somewhere in New England or somewhere like that. Because you people like to name all your towns after English towns or Irish towns and just stick the word new in front of them. Yeah, but you do know there's a place in England called York, don't you? Well, there is. And there's a place called Angeles. And he just called it Los Angeles. He decided, we used to live in Los Angeles, but we can't find our way back. We've lost our Angeles, our hometown is lost. So we'll settle down here, and in memory of our Los Angeles, we'll call this Los Angeles. The T is going to be silent. So to represent that, in memory of the silent T, we'll create an underground train system called the T, except the T will be silent, so it'll be just called a... that'll confuse everyone. We'll have a symbol for it or something. Come to think of it, the underground rail system in Boston is called the T. It's called the MBTA or something, but they shorten it to the T. So they could have made the T in that silence, in memory of the missing tea in Los Angeles, although admittedly that's the fact that that's 3,000 miles away from Los Angeles would probably cause some confusion. If you're going to do something in memory of something, it has to be able to conjure up the memory of the something that's supposed to be memorializing. If you have to put a 3-page long bronze plaque in front of it to explain what the hell it's supposed to symbolise, then you've done something wrong. That's bad design. So whenever you see something in a museum or somewhere that's got a big plaque in front of it saying, if you read this, you'll know what this is supposed to mean. If you want, if you have time, waste your time and read the whole damn thing. It'll probably say this is a memory of some guy who used to make bronze plaques for a living, and he was particularly good at it, and after he died he had some raw materials left over, so he made this extra long plaque out of what he had left. We didn't do it very well. If he had done it, he would have done it very well. So the poorness of the quality of this plaque is in tribute to the greatness of the quality that he would have made out of it had he ever got around to using it. But unfortunately, he died. He got run over by an MBTA train while he was trying to install a plaque on the tracks to dedicate to some guy who died on the tracks somehow. We're not sure how. We're not medical people. We don't go checking out how people died. We just go around. When we find out that someone has died, we find out what kind of life they lived, not what kind of way they died. We don't need to know the details of their death. We're here to memorise them while they were alive, and what they did during their existence. Unless what they did in the last few seconds of their existence was particularly memorial. If they died, for example, while saving the president's life, then we probably mention that in passing on the plaque somewhere. But in general, no, we prefer to remember people about what they did during their lives rather than what happened during the moments of their death, because that's more important. So anyway, that's plaques for you. There's another dental meaning to the word plaques, but we'll go into that another time. And it's actually plaque, not plaques, but just remember, brush your teeth every day before you get up and after your last meal, especially if you're going to bed with someone, because you'll have a stink. And wash your feet as well, for that matter, especially if you're wearing runners and you're walking around all day and your feet are stinking, and so in your socks. If you're going to wash your feet, make damn sure you change your socks and get some of that stuff that you spray into your runners and leave them overnight soaking in it. Because otherwise, people are going to hate you. They're going to go around running after you with knives, saying, "There is that person with the smelly feet and the plaque in his teeth." Not a good plaque either. It's not dedicated to anyone, apart from maybe that horse that he ate last night and has given him bad breath. So anyway, there you go. Intuitive, that's the word I was trying to think of. Anyway, goodbye.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guestbook, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system,
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.